warm welcome to the Journey Visions podcast, a podcast series by the participants of the EIT Climate Kick Climate Change Summer School. We aim at capturing different participants' visions and their joint projects to fight climate change. I am Leonie.
And I am Nora.
And we are from the Northern Lights Journey. And today we have the honor to speak with anyone other than our distinguished coaches, Heiko and Nirika. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here, Nirika and Heiko. We want to start off with a one-minute pitch of what is the journey about. And I would suggest that maybe Heiko starts, and afterwards Nirika can join in and add something to what Heiko has said. So the stage is yours.
I think it's about meeting great people and building relationships and building communities that you can thrive with for the next couple of years and maybe your life. The journey has a core, which is about transformation and finding new solutions in context of climate change, and looks at this from different perspectives, particularly coming from systems thinking ideas, which we explore during the journey.
And I would add that the journey is a place where extremely knowledgeable people and passionate people come together to inspire each other and to connect and collaborate, as Heiko said. And a mix of people in the sense that the journey is able to unite them is something I've at least personally never seen before. Everyone is super enthusiastic and passionate about fighting against climate change. So that is very inspiring for me.
Great. I think that was a wonderful pitch. And it's exactly why I'm also so happy to be in the journey. So we're going to do a quickly, like a rapid fire round to get to know you a little bit better. And try to answer a maximum of 3 words. So I'll start with you, Nirika. Which place do you call home?
Oaxaca, Mexico, and Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
Great. And what about you, Heiko?
It's Zurich in Switzerland.
Okay. Heiko, what's your educational background?
I've done in the early days, I've done a very solid banking apprenticeship, which gave me a lot of grounds in the financial industry, and then studied economics at the University of Frankfurt.
Okay, and what about you, Nirika?
I completed a master in, it is called Global Business and Sustainability at the Erasmus University of Rotterdam, and then I did innovation and leadership master course at Hyper Island, which is a Swedish institute, which is why I'm kind of facilitator and coach nowadays.
Yeah, nice. So Nirika, what would be 3 words that describe you?
I would say, I don't know if it's kind of a good combination of words, but seriously. So playfulness, but in a serious way, and courageous and explorative, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And Heiko?
I would say curious, grounded, and remain optimistic.
Great. And what is your role in the journey? Heiko, would you like to answer this one first?
We're both coaches. We co-coach this Northern Lights journey this time.
Okay, this time.
I would say part of that role is kind of bringing this, well, at least for me, but I think that counts for many coaches, kind of bringing this active play to the group and helping the group connect and inspire each other. So it's a bit of a facilitation role, I would say, as well.
Yeah, because what's your motivation for the journey, Nirika? Is that also to connect people, like you mentioned?
Definitely, yeah. And as I said also in the beginning, like these extremely motivated and knowledgeable people, are a little bit my biggest motivation, actually, because it makes me happy to learn a lot from them or from you guys content wise, but also kind of human being wise. So to better understand kind of what motivates you to create an impact and how this can be increased by kind of connecting you with each other is something I really like learning. And I do so a lot during this this nice period of the journey.
Yeah. It gives a lot of energy. And what is your motivation, Heiko?
I think with this sort of people, like the students who start sort of going out of universities and explore where their direction is and are much motivated for change, just sort of inspire for what changes are achievable and what are the possibilities out there actually to match with their own abilities and with their only know-how bases. So it's this motivation inspire for going a little bit beyond the usual thoughts and see where potentials for change and transformation are and what is doable, and maybe as well put another layer to it, what could be doable if one starts thinking slightly differently.
Yeah. It's funny because I nodded my head the whole time, but you can't actually see me. So like, yeah. All right, I will go on. We have some more questions. So first of all, I would be interested, what is your most interest in the field of sustainable development? Maybe Heiko can start.
It's about regeneration. I think there's a, particularly now, it's about how do we build resilient systems or rebuild resilient systems, but not go back into the old thinking of having systems, but how do we create something which is more regenerative? So it's a lot about regenerative cultures, regenerative businesses, which are much connected to the cultures, and more so and very important is regenerative agriculture, because we need the land and we need to reconnect to the land. And we have about almost 700 million poor people in the world who don't have enough to eat. So there's a lot of challenges coming towards us, which with a different thinking can be dealt with.
Wow, that's very interesting that you came from a banking career to regeneration. That's great, Heiko. What about you, Nurika?
For me, it's more about those who are behind those cultures and those businesses and kind of about people. So I'm very interested in kind of the learning and development aspect, or I don't know, maybe call it education, and how we can as cultures and people behind businesses and in schools kind of learn to think in this more kind of holistic and systemic way. So I think the journey is like a great example of that. But I would like to see this happening on like a very large scale in all parts of the world, especially also kind of in developing countries. So that is a bit like my topic of passion and interest.
I'm definitely with you, Nurika. So is there any event that impacted you and motivated you to become engaged in these kind of sustainability challenges that you just mentioned or in climate action? Maybe Nurika, you want to go on?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Mexico, in the Pacific Ocean site, in the coastal area. And at some point, I got to know this story about a guy, and he was actually also Dutch, as I am as well, who lived a few states further from me. So I never actually got to know him, but I saw a very nice kind of documentary about him. And he was the first person to implement fair trade business in the coffee sector for this part of Mexico. And I was actually still quite young, and that moment was kind of a moment when I realized that kind of business could be combined with kind of increasing the quality of people's livelihoods and while still doing good practices nature-wise. But that was like, now it sounds very logical, but that for me, that was a very important aha moment where I kind of started connecting a few dots myself. So yeah, that is definitely an event that impacted me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all need this aha moment in order to understand the importance of the topic. What is your aha moment, Heiko? Do you have one?
Yeah, I think it's important to say aha moment because, I mean, I when I studied economics, there was sort of in the early 90s, came in the ecology and economy go together. And ever since I explored how that goes together. So, I was in the banking and the finance industry ever since, but with an emphasis on social banking, on social environmental investment opportunities, ethical ideas and investment, and more so these days about flow of money into the appropriate project. I've been part of the sustainability movement for very long, and only realized, particularly in terms of climate change, what the effects are during event. I think it's 2 years ago, where the village of where friends of mine have a nice holiday home outside of Athens at the coast, where sort of like the Athens people go for their summer breaks because it's too hot in Athens, so you go there. And I know the premises very well, and the whole village burned down. So there was only like the tower of the church remaining, but everything else was flattened. And they had huge orange trees and olive trees on their land. It all was devastated, and that went like 3-4 hours, and then it was wiped out. And that is a direct consequence of climate change. As we can see more and more and more, where I really realized, well, this is not theory anymore. You could see you trusted the data, but that was something where really I got my eyes wide open. And another one, it was probably more on a positive note, is I co-organized a festival in Spain 2 years ago in September, the Regenerative Festival, with people who have started moving to regenerative agriculture, organic farming methods there as a community in a stretch of land in Andalusia, to help people get to better connected, but also sort of help them celebrate what they have achieved over 5 years at the time. And it created some movement some ripples in the system of agriculture within these communities, which I see, wow, there are different sorts of events. There's the waking up events, and then there's the motivating events, and there's the events that actually start as well moving stuff because you come together.
Wow. So these stories are quite inspiring. I really like them. Thank you. To get back to the rapid fire round, let's try to answer the next two questions in like one word maybe, because I can see that you two are quite of an inspiration, I guess, for our listeners, but maybe you also have a biggest inspiration. So this can be a person, a thing, a pet, for example. What is yours? One word. Nirika, maybe.
Hyper Island.
And Heiko?
In terms of sustainability and system thinking, it's certainly Joan S. Davis, a good friend of Dana Meadows.
Mm-hmm. Great. And do you have any favorite sustainability tool, like a book or a podcast, for example? Heiko?
Yeah, I mean, to really turn deeper into the sustainability topic and to stay optimistic, and that's many, many moons ago, I read the book called Factor 4 by Ernst-Ulrich von Weizsäcker, that was as well sort of co-authored with the Club of Rome, which really gave me the insight, no, we can do this. We just have to...
Some music in the background.
there's a fire brigades passing by and my other phone ringing. And that gave me insight, wow, we can do something. And even now I think we can do it. It's just like we have to look at it differently. We have to be more innovative and try out things. And particularly COVID, we see a lot of businesses have survived because they have very quickly changed into a different way of doing business and into exploring new ways of survival. And out of that usually comes as well new insight and new efficiency ideas into new products, into new ways of generating energy and so forth. And the other one that I'm quite intrigued, and that is sort of relating to what I said earlier, is there's a new book about regenerative leadership by Laura Storm and Giles Hutchins, which sort of speak my mind. If I ever have sat down to write a book, it would be pretty much along those lines. And of course, a friend of mine, Daniel Christian Wahl, he put together really nice, particularly questions in a book, Designing Regenerative Cultures, which doesn't necessarily come up with the solution for the next step, but sort of raises the relevant questions to to contemplate and to co-create what is there to be done, what are the possibilities.
Great, Heike, thank you. What about you, Nerika?
Okay. I will say self-reflection. So I think, at least personally, I've noticed that once you kind of start being conscious of yourself and reflect on why you do things and why you don't, and kind of what motivates you, that is when many good practices can come up. So I think, yeah, I don't know if I can call it a tool. No, it's definitely a tool. I think I would advise people to experiment a little bit with self-reflection and seeing how that can help you make or work towards positive impact.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, coming from self-reflection to visions, because this podcast should also be served, or should also serve a little bit like an inspiration there for our listeners to think big. So we would like to know from you, like from your experience, how or what does a great vision look like? Try to make it quite short if you can. Maybe Nerika, you want to start?
Yes, I think for me, I'll try to keep it really short, but vision should evoke emotions. So it should be kind of unashamedly passionate. It should, like, maybe there have been bad visions, right? But these also evoke really strong emotions. So for me, a vision is something emotional, and it kind of helps build a picture in people's minds, the same picture. Yeah, and I think a vision kind of should feel, hear, think, and say, and do what we reached at some point and what emotions that evokes.
What about you, Heiko? What does a great vision look like?
I think I have to agree with Nerika here. It's really visions should be filled with emotions, because that draws a lot towards the vision. But there's something else that came to mind when you asked the question is a quote that Richard Branson made a couple of years back. If it's not scaring you, it's not scaring you enough, the vision, then it's not a good vision. So also make it bigger than you possibly would think possible.
Okay. And can you maybe give us a recent example of where you've seen a vision clarity has led to mission success? Heiko?
A bit of a complicated thing, because particularly now, if you have a very clear vision and it's sort of almost set in stone, it can as well sort of block you, because suddenly it's realized that you don't need or have it anymore. So I believe it's a lot about flexibility in your visioning, so adapting, allow for adaptation throughout the process of getting there. I not have a case or example off the top of my head right now.
Maybe Nerika has one.
Well, I always love the example. It's not that recent anymore, but from the ocean cleanup. So it's a kind of Dutch, very young inventor, or I don't know how to call him, Boyan Slot, who came up with kind of this vision of wanting to clean the ocean from, I don't know, I think it's 90-something% from plastics. And I think he was like 19 at the time when he kind of put this out there. And at the end, they came up with like a bunch of technologies. They raised funds, and they're like actually putting it into practice. And yeah, I followed their story quite a bit, and I really like how their process has been.
That's interesting. Yeah, true. And do you also have a personal vision that you can maybe phrase in one sentence? There we go.
But I would say for me, it's to at some point in my life kind of be the founder of or be very closely, very closely involved in creating a school or university or something that is completely focused on making positive impact and doing that in a holistic, systemic way.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What about you, Heiko?
Yeah, to stretch the term regenerative a little bit more until everybody's bored of it. Exchange on buzzwords. It's more the tell the stories. The buzzwords are the entries for the stories. It's a little bit along the lines what Enrique said, sort of have a think and action tank. I think there's a lot of thinking going on, but we need as well to explore by doing for what there is to be created. So I call it the new, because how do we replace or create new systems that evolve from current situation or from previously that act and interact differently from since maybe the last 500 or even longer years, and how that needs to look like to have thriving economies, to have happy people, to have healthy people, to have enough nutrients for everybody. So it's rather a broad one as well. Not mm-hmm. one knowing in one entry point in it is more from the food side. But of course, this is complex because energy, water, health, and education, all those other systems are connected.
Yeah. Because Heiko, your vision compared to Nirika's is indeed like quite broad. But what do you do on a daily basis that actually brings you towards achieving that vision?
Nirika said self-reflection. Maybe not doing so much of that, but I meditate on a daily basis, which is some sort of a different reflection, and try to be conscious and aware of my actions, and not certainly be perfect about it. And that, I think, is key. Not try to be perfect about it, but try out how aware can you be, and with your consumption patterns, how you travel around, how you speak, your language, and so forth. So to reach a state where you're a bit more conscious about all these tiny little things, because they make huge difference, particularly in relation with your surrounding.
Yeah. And Erika, because your personal vision is actually quite specific. Sounds amazing. Is there anything you do on a daily basis to get there?
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with Heiko that like this kind of little things that make the difference is something I try to work on as well, and that I'm definitely like I haven't aced it at all, and I think it's gonna be a lifelong thing. But for my bit more specific vision, I would say I'm already kind of engaged in this topic of education and learning and development more and more. Yeah. And I just try to work as much as possible with groups and play around with kind of concepts and what works, what doesn't. Try to understand, as I said before, like the human being and its motivations. As far as that is possible, of course, to then see how I can work towards my vision.
Great. Okay. So Nirika, what have you accomplished in the past that you thought was impossible at the time?
Well, I would say that has happened in the past few years. So I'm almost 30 now this year. 2 years ago, I decided kind of to start working for myself. Also with this idea in mind that I want to work with people, with education on climate change and sustainable development, and kind of light the sustainability fire in others. And that was quite scary, actually. Like, I know I had this vision. Now I call it vision, but at the time, of course, it was just kind of an idea. But how I would do it kind of and what I would do was still very unclear, and sometimes it still is. So I think that was quite a bold step of myself to just say like, okay, I'll just do it and follow this idea that I have. And yeah, little by little, it's unpacking and working out. So I'm quite proud of that.
Okay. And what about you, Heiko? Anything you thought was impossible at the time, but you accomplished it anyways?
The online world. I'm quite proud of that.
Online journey.
Online journey, online world. Yeah, been involved with a lot of Zoom experiments since March, and I learned so much. That is incredible. I hadn't expected to go that line ever. So it's quite impactful for me.
Yeah. Okay, great. And Heiko, what difference will you make if you are successful?
What is success?
That's also a good question.
Good question.
I think that's very, very individual to see what success is. And I think it's key to help understand in this context what success means for anybody personally. And then the next question I would raise, apparently, is what does it mean to make a difference, and how do you make a difference? In which context are you making a difference? What then sort of leads to other next actions that result from it? I have a lot of talks, particularly as well with some of my clients, about making a difference and what is the responsibility of the money they own, for example. So there's a broad range of entry points, maybe even calling leverage points, where people can put their heart and maybe their financial means to change something that is dear to them, but as well have an effect in a broader sense for society or for the close environment. I think I am successful in that understanding of how I would define success. That I'm making a difference, and I wouldn't say that. So people have to tell me that I'm doing, and that helps me actually to continue what I'm doing.
Yeah. And what about you, Nirika?
Yeah, I also find this a very hard conceptual question.
Yeah.
Because what can be kind of my vision and my idea of myself kind of achieving that vision successfully can be one thing now and can be something completely different when I've changed my vision, which will probably happen a few times throughout my life, I hope. So what I just hope for myself and but for like all those around me is that we keep on having kind of this curiosity of looking beyond our own goal and kind of our own maybe sometimes tunnel vision as well, and kind of also be flexible to adapt to new ideas, new needs, and new visions. And for me, yeah, that is successful for me if I'm able to like swap ideas and visions and kind of, be dynamic in that throughout life. And what difference that will make, I cannot respond to right now, I think. But
no.
I think it will keep me active. And I think that might count for many other people.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
All right, then. Before we move on to the last question, you already started to give some key advices to our listeners here. So I will just ask you for one more advice. And this is a personal way of being happy that you would like to share with us and with our listeners. Maybe Heiko, you want to start?
Well, the obvious thing is here, swimming in the lake here in Zurich.
of course.
I think the other thing is to be true to yourself, be yourself, because any other thing just like distracts from yourself. So that's happiness as well. Be authentic about yourself. And having inspiring exchange with people and close friends around it. So I believe within these relationships, there's a lot of happiness to be found when you speak from your heart with other people.
Yeah.
What about you, Eureka?
Yeah, I definitely agree on kind of this own happiness and kind of being self-reflective and okay with yourself, but I also think it's good to keep on being, I don't know, open and look beyond your own goals. And another thing I really like to stress is kind of collaborating instead of trying to compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very important indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so we've reached our final and last question already. Heiko, what is your vision for 2030? What should the world look like by then?
He's speechless.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. No, it's a big question, a visionary question as well, which of course we like. It's not necessarily about achieving the sustainable development goals, because some of them will be achieved by then, and some others probably not yet. But I think it's more sort of having found a different way of living together, having understood that another mindset of creating life would help to sustain life, and also in terms of what the planet has to offer us, sort of to be in alignment with that. So it's a bit of a more romantic, maybe as well, spiritual vision there, sort of to be in a harmony world where everybody takes care about other people and we are connected with nature.
Yeah, but I absolutely agree on that. Yeah.
Totally valid. Yeah.
And Nirika?
There's not much more to add to that, because that's exactly what it should be. And yeah, I think just more conscious people, or like 100% conscious people, is a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only agree, and also hope that in 10 years from now, we will at least get a little bit closer to that vision. Okay, so this was the end of our first episode. So thank you all for listening to this podcast. We really appreciate your feedback on our social media channels. And of course, you can get in touch if you want to be part of this podcast as a participant. Thank you, Heiko and Erika, again. And good luck with this journey.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.